Pastor Bernard Jackson.
You have to be appreciative to what you have. You have to be thankful for what you have. Now, check this out. Look at what he did, Dave. You got to follow me now. Now, what he did, he simply thanked God for what he had. And when you thank God for what you have, then God takes what you have and he makes it over and above what you need.
Hallelujah.
Let me finish reading. That's what he did. All he did, he took what he had. My wife was talking yesterday, and I'm hearing her clear and clear. The more time I spend with God, she comes in a lot clearer. And so she's always been saying it, but she every now and then she'll remind me. And she's always done that. You know, what did you have when you come here? Where did you come from? What was life like before? Have you ever faced anything as tough as this? Why grumbling about now? So all he did was to give me what you got. So the first thing, in order to be able to live inside out, you have to always reflect where you come from.
Where you come from.
Where you come from. Oh, yeah. And if you forget where you come from, you will never go any further than where you are.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. So the first thing he did was, he just thanked God for what he had. And then as he thanked God for what he had became more than what he needed. It said, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they what? As much as all you can eat.
All you can eat.
Hey God, I ain't started with but 5 loaves, but it's still all you can eat. The next one, it says in the next verse, and when they were what?
Filled.
When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, now, see, now you get this. I thought it came from LMA, but I've always been like this. Don't you be wasting stuff. If you don't want it, don't put your hands on it. That's the disciples. Huh? Now look at what he did. He threw it away. He said, after everybody else had eaten, how many disciples were there?
Yeah.
How many?
Yeah.
Now, who ate first, who ate last? The disciples, other people. The people ate first. Everybody's hungry. They out there too. And in fact, the disciples said, hey, time to eat. Summertime. What you sending these people home, man? It's time for us to eat. And then, no, y'all go ahead and sit them down. Now, you have to understand something. We got 5,000 hungry people. No, 5,000 hungry men. That's not to count the women and children. So we got 5,000 hungry people. Now, I've been around y'all when y'all been waiting to sit down after church, in a restaurant. I've been around. I've seen y'all. I've seen your pace. I've seen you sit there and try to be as patient as you possibly can, but you're not nice. You're not. And so here we are, 5,000. They're all over the place. And Jesus tells his disciples, look, what I want you to do is sit them down in 50s and 100s. They didn't get there and say, oh, come on, man. They're home. They're already busted. They're complaining. They whine. Yeah, just sit them down. So they do exactly what he tells them to do. And then after that, he breaks it. Then they get out there. And then they serve all of those people. Everybody there. Then after everybody else had eaten, after everything was all over with, they gathered up the fragments that remained, that nothing belonged. And how many fragments were there?
Well, back.
See, if you can just calm yourself down, if you can just be grateful, and if you can still serve under extreme pressure, because remember we talked about not being conforming, they could have easily been a member of the crowd. Because there are often times in which there are people that you start out, they're on your side, but as time goes on, they jump on the other side.
Everything's going to be all right.
We're not getting paid this week. Everything ain't gonna be all right. If I ain't getting my money, it's not gonna be all right. And so here, the disciples could have easily jumped on the other side. At the end of the day, therefore, they gathered them together and filled how many dozen?
12
with the fragments of the what?
Five.
5 barley loaves, which remain, what?
Over
and above unto them that had eaten.
See, if you could just live inside out, and you can be grateful for what you have, God will take what you have and make it over and above what you need, what you ever need. But what happens is pressure causing you to conform, and you just being ungrateful just like everybody else. Ungratefulness is the biggest problem that I run into all the time. People come from nothing, they get a little something, and they're not satisfied with the little something that they got, and then they go to murmur and complain. See, when you're living from the inside out, you're grateful. You're thankful for what you have. I have to do that often, because there are times in which I have to sit down and just remind myself that, you know what? Things weren't like this last year.
Come on now.
And I'm telling you, I was almost to the place to where I was very comfortable. That is not the place to be, I want you to know. That is not the place to be. When you get to the place to where you're comfortable, where you don't, watch the way I say it. When you don't really need to believe God. When you get to the place where you don't, God, I'm all right. I don't need you. I got it from here. When you get to that place there, that's when problems start to creep up. And you don't even know it. And so I was just getting to that place. I was on my way. The jacket had come off. I slipped on my slippers. Kicked up my leg. Just when the chair was about to go, just when I was about to lean back, my wife struck in and she said, you know what? It's more than what we have. But what I have is good enough for me. And so now we out here again. And so now I'm to the place where, Lord, you remember, I need you. I need you. And him, I got you. Not a problem. I was hoping that you come back. But yeah. And so what happened, whenever you inside out, you got to remind yourself, where you come from. Now, when Jesus was right there and he fed those people, and he did everything, all he did was, I thank you for what I have. Notice what he did not say. Got all these people with me. He said, it don't happen. It can't work. How are we going to do this? None of that. Lord, I thank you for what I have. Just thank you. Then after he thanked him, all right, pass it out. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was a member of the 12, if I was a waiter that day, I would have been like,
yeah.
Boy, these people are going to be some upset with us. They're already hungry, and I'm going to take it. And then as they take it, it kept breaking. Now, I'm still trying to figure that. I'm trying to get a mental picture how it happened. You know, like, did he break off some of the bread when he go back? I mean, there was the bread replaced itself. I'm trying to figure it out, Ash. And did he take some of the fish, and when he went back, did he put it in the bucket? Right? That way he couldn't see it. And then every time he reached in, there was some more of that. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Right.
All I know is over 5,000 men left full. After they ate, 12 baskets for the disciples that served them. See, if you're going to live inside out, you have to be grateful for what you have.
Well, yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. Conformity can get you to looking at what you have and say, this ain't enough. I need more. But if you just relax and just replay the game film, you would discover that, you know what? Where I am today is a lot further than where I was yesterday.
Yeah.
Come on, let's keep going.
Hallelujah.
Ain't bowed down too much. Now, I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 18. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, this is one of those verses that may, there was a very popular sitcom years ago, and I intentionally picked one that's about your age, because, you know, my sitcom go all the way back. And so, in you know, during those days when sitcoms were very, very popular, there was always a phrase that you look for in there, right? You know, and there was this one particular one that I personally wasn't a big fan of, but it was always that phrase. And he always said,
grasp his hand and you say, "Kid, Dynamite." Always popular. And so you watch the whole 20 minutes waiting for that one phrase. Well, this verse here reminds me of Arnold and Willis. Y'all remember him?
Oh, yeah.
What you talking about, Willis? This one right here. Look at what it says. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, right off the bat. Okay? But at the things which are not seen. Yeah, what you talking about, Willis? For the things which are seen are temporal. Right. But the things which are not seen are eternal. How would that kind of make you like? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Wow. Now that's really insightful. Remember that now. Because he's telling you something. He's telling you, don't look at what you see.
Come on now.
I want you to look at what you don't see.
Come on.
I just wanted to know, but just, I ain't gonna ask no question. I'm trying to figure it out now. Don't look at what you see. Look at what you don't see. Because the things that you see are subject to change. But the things that you do not see, they're eternal. Genesis chapter 1. I told you we don't go to scriptures that you know. I need 1, 2, and 3. Genesis chapter 1. Watch this. Because he said, don't look at what you see. Because what you see is subject to change. But what you don't see, that's eternal. Genesis 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning, who?
God.
Created and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and what?
Darkness
was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said what? And there was
light.
Now, back to what we said before. Don't look at what you see. What you see is something to change. It's what you don't see that's eternal. My question to you is, if it was dark when he got there, and this is the big one here, where was the light?
Come on.
You ever thought about that? Where was it? If it was dark and there was no light, where was it? They didn't have no light bulb. Where was it? Hold that. Come on with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. 1, 3, and 4. Where was the light? It was dark. So where did the light come from? 1 Peter. 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. Now, this is you. See, you're living your life from the inside. How? This is what it says. According as his divine power has given unto us, how many things?
Oh.
All things that what? Pertain to life and godliness. So, this is the answer to the question. Now, he said that you have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Where is it? Where is it?
On the inside.
Where is it?
On the inside.
It's on the inside, because that's what he said. He said you already have it. It's already there. So, back to my other question. Where was the light? It was already in God. It was already there. The light was in him already. And so all he had to do was just show up and execute what was already in him. See this right here? You got all things that pertain to life and godliness. Where is it? It's already in you. But the problem is, you allow this conformity out here to stop on the inside, not allowing it to come out.
Yes.
See, conformity stops what's already on sin. That's why I said that the purpose of this world system, that you can't do that.
Amen.
That's hard. Do something else. Don't do that.
No.
You know what? It don't take all that.
Yes.
See, you allowing conformity to slow. You already got everything you need on the inside. I can remember when I first started speaking in other tongues. Now, and see, this one right here, this blew my mind. It really did. Because, see, while I was talking in other tongues, I had faculty of my brain. It was still working. And so my brain was saying, you ain't saying nothing. You ain't doing nothing. Now, on the other hand, when you talk in English, you don't have that same faculty. When you talk in English, you have to think about it. It goes through a thought process. Every word that you say has to come through your brain, then come out of your mouth. But when you're talking in another tongue, your thought is not, it's disconnected, and your thoughts is talking to you. You ain't saying nothing. That's just gibberish.
talking at the same time. Words are coming out of my mouth that I'm not telling. It's not filtered through.
Because you're living from the inside.
Once you start that, there ain't no stopping. There is no stopping. But what happens is you're so used to the outside controlling your inside. I've said this 1,000 times. Hopefully today it's going to click. That's right then. I got here probably about 8:15 this morning. I came in. It did not feel like this morning. It felt slightly different. It felt like 62. 60. Now, all I did was went there and I set that temperature. And Mama just laughed because he said, "And your house is 62." All I did was I went there and I set a temperature. And I said, "Well, 73 is pretty good." And so I set it. I put it on 73. And then I went in the back and I said, "Well, 70 is good." And I set it. I left. I came back. And lo and behold, it's 73. Now, notice this. The things that control that thermostat, you cannot see. It's heat from your sight. But you know it works. And notice this. It does not work immediately. There's a process. See, I said it, and it didn't happen instantly. If it did, we would really have a problem. So it just took a process. It came on, the heat started, the flame set, and then as we're up, start to heat up, and then lo and behold, I got up this morning, right? I started my car, turned the heater on, so that when the two ladies of my household got in, it would be nice and warm. Parched, mind you. You understand? And so that's a process. See, when you live from the inside out, that's the way you live life. You don't allow the outside to control your inside. I got a policeman, I got soldiers in here. They go to training. And in their training, they are put under adverse situations and circumstances. They go through periods in which there is no sleep. And then if they allow you to go to sleep, they come in and break your sleep so that they can see what you're going to do because they're training you.
Come on.
And so when you're faced with that, now, I've had the privilege to see Brother Phil at work before. It's a different, I mean, when he puts on that uniform, he's a different kind of dude. I mean, I'm calling him first. Hey, Brother Phil, way up there, and I ain't sneaking up behind you. Ain't doing that. Because I don't want that training to happen too quick. And so, because he's trained, he react differently in certain situations and circumstances than we would. Right? Now, if there's a whole bunch of, gunfire going on, we run it that way, you run it this way. He's trained for that.
Y'all looking at me like,
no, brother. I'm running with Phil. I'm going to take care of that. No, you're not. He's trained for that. So when situations happen in public, he don't run from it. He run to it. And before he know it, he's in it because that's what's in him. See, what happens is because we don't go back to Romans 12:1-2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. See, that's the point that I missed. Did I read that yet? Yes, I did. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Where is it? Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you, brother. That pertain unto life and godliness through the what?
Knowledge.
Through the what?
Knowledge.
Of who?
Him.
Him. In order to activate this thing, you have to get this knowledge. And this knowledge comes from the Bible. I am doing everything because I'm helping. See, God wants to bring you from one place to another place. But in order to do that, you have to follow directions and instructions.
Come on.
If you do not, you will not get there. And it's going to be, and see, Mom, I don't have a problem with people who say, you know what, where I am is totally, I'm wrong. I respect it. See, my problem is when people blame everybody else. I got real challenges with that. I'm just going to walk off from it. And I don't like excuses. I really don't. Don't tell me no excuses. You are where you are. You are where you are because your inside got you where you are.
Amen.
Wherever you are today is because of your inside. Nobody else. It's what's on the inside of you that has developed you, has brought you where you are. Now, if you want to go further, you have to develop more on the inside. You're depending upon the outside to do this, and no, that's you're gonna be in trouble.
Let me get this. Go back to Romans. 12:1-3.
In Romans 12:1-3, it says, "I beseech you." Now the word "beseech" means I present my case in such a way that you can't resist. You have to do this. "I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that the first thing he said, present your body." Now, you are a spirit. You live in a body. You possess a soul. The soul and your spirit are eternal. Your spirit is perfect. Once you receive Jesus, your spirit is perfect. There's no flaws. It is perfect because it is divinely connected to the one that created you. No sin in your spirit. Your body is a food. It's a food. It does whatever it wants to do, and it don't have no understanding that this is not good for me. It don't, none at all. If you don't believe me, you know how you were before you were saved. I'm not believing that you're not like that anymore, but you know how you were. I mean, look at this. We got all grown folk in the house. I can talk like I want. Don't be nervous. Before Jesus, I mean, man, you was giving it up and getting whatever you can get when you wanted to get it.
Come on.
Do anything that you want to do. I mean, it didn't matter.
Come on.
And so now that it is Jesus, you understand, or you figuring out, you know what? This body ain't saved. This body ain't saved. I mean, the words that you spoke before salvation, your mind still remembers those words. And given the right set of circumstances, situation, they will remind you. You know, speaking in those known tongues. Bleed, 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 bleed. And so as a result, you still have to go through these things. You have to, your body, it ain't gonna get saved. It's not. It's just always gonna be there. That's the reason why he said, look, present your body a living sacrifice. You got to get that thing up. That's the first thing. Now, the spirit is always going to be on one side. Your spirit, the real you, is always going to be on God's side. Always. Your body is going to always be on the enemy side or the flesh side. That's the reason why there's a war between the spirit and your flesh. There's always. It's going to be like that. Now, your soul is the decision. He's the factor. He's the one that swings the vote. Now, if the soul, you got trouble with your soul, if there's no development in the mind, well, then automatically he's going to swing to whatever is pulling the hardest. Sunday, dear friends, last Sunday I gave everybody a charge. And let me go ahead and say, all y'all deliberately disobeyed. I told you not to eat too much. You didn't listen. Well, I might get one. I might have one or two of you. You know, me and Tina are the only one. Everybody else. I know because I was with most of y'all. like they said back in the book of Acts, they went house to house, fellowship, breaking bread. They were breaking more than bread, though. So you got to understand that that body, it ain't going to be sick. Your mind has to control that. Your mind has to side with your spirit. That's the reason why you have to live from the inside out. The training takes place here. Now, in reading your scriptures every day, I got your homework or something. I mean, today is John chapter 6. I already read some of it before. John chapter 6. Now, my wife, because she, you know, she happens to, how can I say it, grown-up style. Let me see. She sleeps with the pastor. She can tell me hers. She don't have to text me. She tells me hers. We discuss. But everybody else, you ain't at my house. You text me. I like reading you because now let me say this, because we always have those students just like in real school, just kind of do it to say they did it. You know, how teacher would give you a reading assignment. And they'd say, well, I need you to read chapter 4, 5, and 6, and when you come back, give me a report on it.
And then you get there and you read maybe one or two, you know, it's due that day, so you, that morning you remember, oh, I didn't read. So you get there and read a few things, and then you write down what you wrote. Heck, there's not more. I ain't gonna get it. Whenever I read mine, I'm going over it, over and over. I'm looking at it. I'm examining it. Like I told you before, I'm going to listen to it at least 4 or 5 times because I got an iPhone now. I can do that. I flip. Oh, that's what it is? I got one of those now. And so I listen to it. I'm going to listen to it 3 or 4 times. And then after that, I'll sit down and I'll read it. And then as I read it, like the one this morning. I mean, I have read that story over and over. Yeah. I have read it a lot of times.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, as I'm reading, I said, oh, all he did was give a thing. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, something on the inside of me said, all he did, now all you have to do is give me thanks for what you have.
Come on.
I think all I know is about what you don't have.
Come on. Bless the Lord.
And so as I sit down, yeah, you're right. Because growing up, Dave, all I wanted, and I know it's kind of shallow, and if it is, it is. So it's me. All I wanted was to have my children for the same woman and have the same man. That was it. Now, for my wife, boy, you better get more than that. You better want more than that. But as I said, because so I go back. So whatever it is that you want, that you desire, because we all different. I mean, we're all different. You, things that are important to you are not important to me. Things that are important to you are not important to me. I know, because some of y'all talk about food like it's the love of your life. I mean, it's like, it's almost like if I didn't know and I just walked up in, let me give you an example and tell me where your mind goes. Ooh, it was so good. I just got to go and get me some more. We're talking about food, right? So we are talking about food, right? Oh, I can't go without that. So we all are different. Everybody's different. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto whom?
God.
Not your standard. Because your standards does not match his. I talk to people all the time and they tell me, well, at least I am not.
Well,
so that makes it right? Well, at least I don't. No, it says his standard. Holy, acceptable unto him. Which is your what?
Reasonable, sir.
Which is your what?
Reasonable, sir.
That means you ain't doing it no favor. It's what you're supposed to do. When you live inside out, you understand, and I know, don't get me wrong, I live here too. I live in this society as well. In this society, if a person shows up for work every day, they get an award. They're the best on their job. Brother Reginald Williams, for instance, they get an award for not hurting themselves. It's called a safety award. They didn't get an award because they didn't break a finger or break a leg. Hey, look, I'm healthy today. Here, here's an award.
Wow.
We'll give you a chair. Not only that, because you hadn't killed yourself in 2 weeks, we'll give you 2 chairs. And so we get so accustomed to getting things, to being rewarded for what we're supposed to do, we forget that this is what I'm supposed to do.
Exactly.
Anybody else catch that? I don't know. My goodness. You come there, you just show up every single day and not be late, they love you.
Okay.
Because so many other people, they don't come.
Perfect attendance in school.
Perfect attendance in school. And none of y'all got a certificate. None of y'all. You know why? Because it wasn't that important. Staying home was more important. Next verse? Where am I? Where am I? Which is your reasonable servant, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Now, this one right here. But be transformed, so by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
So the first thing said, look, now that you're in there, I need you to renew this thing.
Come on.
I need you to renew this thing.
Come on.
Now, your mind,
your mind coupled with your imagination, it can put you in positions in which it's mind-boggling. You can go from, I told you before, I was in a situation in which I had made a decision to die because, you know, because my outside didn't match on the inside, right? And I had made a decision. And so when I looked at my son, watch this now, I changed my mind. Just like that, I changed my mind. And so when I changed my mind, my surroundings begin to change. My health began to conform. Everything else kind of got in line. And all I did was change my mind. I'm at work. So many people, whenever we, you know, in working for who I work for, there are so many implementations of different things. And so if a person goes in and they change their mind, say, I'm going to do this, the learning is so much easier and faster. There are individuals right now, when they come to church, they come to church for various reasons. I mean, everybody in here, you're sitting in that seat for various reasons. Some sit there because, you know, it's treated as like a good luck charm. I went to church, everything going to go right for me. You know. Some people go, hey, God, I'm doing you a favor. Helping you out, just want you to know. While there are others that come here and say, you know what, I'm being trained for life. Everything that guy says, I'm going to have to go ahead and implement. Now, before this, we talked about connection. We talked about being joined and connected. Now, connection is a continual process. Being connected with God is a daily. Being connected with my wife is a daily. Because she's changing all the time. I'm changing all the time. It's just so subtle. I have my children. I have everybody here that remember me in my younger days, and they can tell you, they don't know when the change took place, but they see a change. I mean, as a disciplinarian, I was very disciplined. Meaning, I would whip you real quick. But now, as they see that I'm a different guy because I changed. Now, one thing about me, if I learn that I'm not doing something right, I'm going to change. I'm going to change. As soon as I learn, now, to get my mind right, it may take a little while because I have to be, you have to show me that it's not right. But once I see it's not right, I'm going to change it. I mean, Ashley said at the parking lot. Was I in the parking lot this morning? See, I'm not supposed to be out there. I'm supposed to be in my study, getting ready for what I have to tell you, because what I have to tell you is far more important than the outside.
Well, yeah.
What's on the outside?
What's on the inside is what I have to give you. You understand? So remember, ladies and gentlemen, what's on the inside is way more important. I have a whole lot of other information, but you know what the good thing is? I'm going to do that next week. So I don't have to do anything other than what I've done. So we're going to go ahead and shut it down. And I'm excited because A, God has so much more for us than what we have. And B, I see you where maybe you don't see yourself. Where you are now, I saw you there already. I already saw you there. I always knew you can be who you are now. I'm always a few steps ahead of you. You just got to catch up with me. So if you can do that, you're all right. Let me pray.